Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I thought I would have no news for you this week, which I believe is number 22 of what we now call No Stage Left. But lo and behold, I do. The Tony Awards are going to happen. Well, with a lot of questions yet to answer. How? Well, of course, it will likely be virtual. When? Probably late October. What will be eligible? Well, they will only be voting on plays. I think there are 18 of them that opened between last fall and the time Broadway shut down, and only if enough Tony voters saw a show. That leaves out West Side Story, the controversial revival, and Girl from the North Country. Now, this could do serious damage to both those productions, but we'll see. The other big questions, will there be a host? And most importantly, where will it air or stream? Well, stay tuned. Okay, I think that is the only news of the week, unless you count my continuing saga of trying to get into the Old Vic's semi-live performance starring Fleabag's heartthrob Andrew Scott. Now, you may recall that I finally nabbed a seat. Then the show was postponed due to Scott's being hospitalized. Then it was postponed again. And at this time last week, I expressed my deep pessimism that the show would ever open. Well, guess what? I just got a notice saying it's coming back in September, and I have a seat September 3rd. Again, stay tuned. So, what did I watch this past week that hopefully will remain available on YouTube or on the hosting group's site? My favorite was the Barrington Stage Company's reading of Judgment Day by Rob Ulin. Now, he's a successful TV writer, but this is his first play. It's very funny, but also probing in its exploration of morality and faith. The stellar cast includes Patti LuPone as a hilarious angel, Michael McKean and Santino Fontana as a pair of bickering priests, and mostly Jason Alexander in the leading role of a nasty, deeply corrupt man who literally comes back from the dead and tries to make up for his past deeds. I was laughing out loud more than I have in a long time. Bravo to Barrington Stage, and I hope this reading turns into a real production for them. Now, my other notable viewing, one that made me cry out loud, was the latest offering by Theater of War. This is the entity that spends the first 45 minutes having top-notch actors, including Oscar Isaac, Jeffrey Wright, Frances McDormand, and more, reading scenes from Sophocles and other mostly Greek writers. And that's followed by live discussions with healthcare providers for whom these are primarily done to support. The most recent one features McDormand and Jesse Eisenberg. I've been highly impressed with and curious about Theater of War, so I called its artistic director, Brian Derries, to learn more about it. He said very clearly that it is not a theater company per se, but one that uses theater as a tool to help those in need. At this moment, obviously, it's all pandemic all the time. The healthcare workers are based in one location where they watch the actors via Zoom and then find resonance with their own lives. This particular one had scenes that were uncannily close to home, with the characters speaking sentiments like, "It lacerates from within. Gaze upon the disease of my tormented body and bring them all to me so they can hear my last words." Whoa, what did Sophocles know and when did he know it? The next Theater of War event is September 3rd, and that's an all-British one, including Damian Lewis doing Oedipus. I'll remind you as we get closer. Now, I also watched part two of the New York Times celebration, so to speak, of the 19th Amendment. This one featured five actresses in an original piece called Finish the Fight. It tells the stories of names that are not Susan B. Anthony's, who did rather remarkable, if forgotten, things to get women, at least those of a certain color, for starters, the right to vote. The actors are excellent, and while the words, imagined as well as authentic ones, are strong, you speak of rights, I speak of wrongs. 90 minutes is a bit long for this kind of history lesson bathed in theatrical flourishes. When you think suffragette, one actress said after the performance, you think rich, privileged women with access and wearing bonnets. Well, this reading reminds or informs us that the women who mattered were of all colors and religious persuasions. It's still worth watching. Okay, so what's coming up this week? Well, this Thursday, the 27th, there is a 7 o'clock East Coast time reading of The Jacksonian, written by Beth Henley, who's always fun. And this is a new group reunion with actors Ed Harris, Amy Madigan, and Bill Pullman. That's a good cast. The next day, Friday the 28th at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, the Fountain Theater in Los Angeles is doing a live reading reunion of The Ballad of Emmett Till. I ain't missing that one, having traveled through the Deep South last year. On Saturday the 29th, you can check in with the Latin Theater Company, also from Los Angeles, which will be presenting a play about the true story of journalist Ruben Salazar. He was killed while covering an anti-war demonstration in East Los Angeles. Also the same night, a new Pride and Prejudice musical from, of all places, a theater in Silicon Valley. You can find that through Broadway On Demand. So it looks like a heavy week in terms of materials. Sorry, I'm not offering any family-friendly fare, though I guess Pride and Prejudice might qualify. But hey, Jill, it's probably more entertaining than the Republican convention, but who knows?
So is the Silicon Valley thing not affected by fires?
Well, it's a good question. It hasn't been canceled yet. I think it's called it's not the Children's Theater Company or the... Oh, I think it's the... Oh, I don't know.
It's just a question of where it is. Little reminder to people that there are other things happening outside their screens.
That's right. Of course, the actors would be Zooming from their own homes, but who knows? The homes may be burning down.
You're a Southern Californian, and so it's less... right now, my Northern California folk have been either hosting different people. By hosting, I mean... There have been certain evacuations and so forth. So hopefully by the time this gets aired, these things will be more under control. But right now it's pretty, sitting peacefully in your area with your electronics is not...
nothing to be taken for granted, I'll tell you.
For everybody. For some it's fine.
But we should not, we should count our blessings. And even in California, speaking of getting aired, the air out there, Southern California as well, I hear from all my friends and family, even if it hasn't quite gone there yet, the air is just terrible. Like the old smoggy days in Los Angeles.
No, the fire air is terrible. And then I guess while we're on the, just very briefly, because this is required if unless you have your own doomsday bunker. But the rolling blackouts that no one can figure out exactly why they're happening is something to bear in mind, especially. One of the things that we just survived, as a long-term power outage. And this is always the time that we choose to remind people that who have only cell phones and an assumed universe where there is always power. If you have bundled service and the power is out for an extended period of time, you have nothing.
Well, you hopefully have a generator. How did you keep going if you had? Did you lose power in the station? And
we were without power for 10 days. I lost count. Maybe 8 days. Yes, there's a generator at the station. It only ran out of fuel once. And yes, I have a generator at my house, but that caught fire the last day. Again, these assumptions that that you just flip a switch, while it's great for all Zoomites, you might want to walk outside from time to time. And I'm sort of wondering with your virtual, with the virtual Tony Awards, that's great, but it just... it's a universe that simply assumes power and access for everyone.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I don't really know if the Tonys are worth doing. Obviously I support them because I love theater, and the Emmys are coming up this week, I think. And I guess they could do it. The Tonys are the least watched program, I think, on CBS for an entire year. Maybe it'll do better, you know, as giving people something to watch, depending maybe who the host is and if they have some performances. But, you know, what is it going to mean? But listen, the theater community, as I've said many times here, listen, it's kept me going for 22 weeks.
That's right. No, things are happening, I guess, which brings me to last week, you know, your trials with the Old Vic notwithstanding. I saw recently a review for the, and I believe you mentioned this, the Donmer Warehouse production of Blindness.
Blindness was, that's right. We talked about that, yep. I think, last
week. And I also noted with interest the Times review of Godspell. And I find the self, in both cases, it seems like the reviewer was far more, this is just my opinion, but far more interested in talking about themselves and how they responded than the show.
And the show itself.
And,
you know. Godspell, is that still going? That's out in your area, isn't that? Yeah.
It is, yeah. And it was the first live theater.
Yes,
and
it was.
Guess what? Yeah. Everyone lived.
Yes, everyone lived. But I think they talk about themselves because it was the first experience of of attending a show where you have to wear a mask or you have to get tested when you come in and all that. So did that get in the way of his enjoying the show? I don't.
No, but I just am struck that people's experiences of something are what is now passing for the information about that something. You know, I come from, and yes, I'm old, admittedly, but I don't really want to know. I want to know that you liked it or disliked it,
yeah,
or
right.
Based on your previous experiences of. Yeah. And so, sure, you haven't been in a pandemic before. You were too young to have survived tuberculosis or polio or anything, smallpox, you name it. So that's okay. But what about you have seen Godspell before?
Many years ago, yes.
No, I'm not saying that to you. I'm speaking to the reviewer.
Yeah.
So having seen Godspell and knowing what it's about, let's have some of that rather than I. But that's just my plea. I
agree, because I think there are two different pieces they can write. One is just reviewing the show, and the second, you know, a feature, the sidebar, as we say.
Sure. A little color, please.
How did the audience feel? Will they go see shows when they go inside? You know, that's a story. Another story. But, you know, to put them together, I don't know. But I'm sure that's what he was sort of saying, the first experience. But listen, people were doing... They're trying, but the big question, I must say, I've talked to a lot of theater lovers who come to New York to see theater, and they just don't know. Not about not coming to New York, but about sitting in a big theater.
So here's my question, because the Sunday Style section of the New York Times, just last Sunday, big head, new velvet rope, rapid tests. Now, everybody, from the looks of this article, which sucks up a lot of column inches, it talks about how parties are happening happily, and people just get and there are private doctors that test beforehand, rapid tests.
Right.
So, okay, good for the, again, the people who can afford to do that.
Right.
But theater people can theoretically afford to do that. So test people as, you know, have people test 5 minutes before the show.
Yeah. And sit every three stairs away.
Right. But I just, if this is happening, then it's sort of, I'm not going to pick the word. It's like, okay, if you can do this for a party and you've got plenty of funds, let's just say.
Eating outside with other people. Three tables away or something, yeah.
And so I just like, all right, you got that. New velvet rope. I remember velvet rope standing in, again, I'm old, standing outside of a theater waiting to get in. So
it'll come back. You know, I hate to name drop, but I was at a restaurant the other night outside here. I'm just visiting some friends out here on another in Long Island. And Jimmy Fallon was there, the late night host, and we talked to him quite a bit because my husband produces Dateline, and Jimmy Fallon is obsessed with Dateline, so that was our way in. But then he was telling us he just went back from his home to actually doing a show out of Rockefeller Center. He said it takes him 45 minutes to get from the downstairs lobby up to his office because he has to go through so many tests on the way up. Literally 45 minutes on every floor. He has to stop and get his temperature taken. You know, it's just unbelievable, but he's back. So, you know, listen, we're going to live like this for a while. So be it, but I will be back in a theater, and so will you.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.